RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This is MP on the Mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
All right, we haven't done this in nearly long enough. It's Stubb, America's favorite AWOD radio producer in the house. Stubb, what's
up? It's a tough competition out there in the AWOD producer pool.
But you emerged in the AWOD producer bracket. You're a one seed. Congratulations. You've been giving us our Longwood basketball updates. They're the 16 seed, Stubb.
They are the 16 seed. We were hoping for a 15 or 14.
Yeah, everybody does.
Everybody does.
You're playing Houston. They're the one seed. How are we feeling?
The report from the manager.
Okay. Oh, you're pulling up the text here. Sources close to the Longwood situation.
Yes, has been at every game for the last 6 years. Works with the team, knows the team.
Okay. Wow.
Said, I'll take it.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
That's the opinion over at the Lancers.
There's different opinions on the 16 seed because half of the 16 seeds have to do the play-in game in Dayton tomorrow. Nobody likes the play-in game, but the way it works is if your team wins in the NCAA tournament, you get paid by the NCAA. So every game your team plays in, you get money. So some 16 seeds say, we like the play-in game because we can get paid for a win before we go lose to the one seed. It's a chance to, you know, make...
I see.
Get a little something before. But you could also lose that and never get your
and
chance.
And that's embarrassing.
You never get your chance to play the one seed. Nothing Longwood can do at this point is embarrassing. I mean, they're a Cinderella story. Like, they're not supposed to be there. They'll be underdogs. You know, hopefully they can hang in there. But
we're rooting for a JMU Longwood Sweet 16 game.
JMU Longwood Sweet 16. They would meet in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
We're just big NIT fans now over here. This is a big NIT show now all of a sudden. We got VCU, Richmond, and Virginia Tech all in the NIT.
Richmond and Virginia Tech first, right?
Richmond plays Virginia Tech tomorrow, yeah. Tuesday night. Then VCU plays Wednesday night. I'm going to go on a limb and say this is the station with the most NIT coverage in America because we'll have Tech Richmond tomorrow night and VCU Villanova Wednesday night. That's back-to-back nights of NIT basketball on these airwaves. I dare you to find me another radio station in America that has this much NIT content. Not since we dominated the Iditarod start to finish has 910 The Fan been this synonymous with a sporting event.
I bet there's some like 120 level market that just plays every play-by-play they can because they have no show.
Yeah.
They might be beating us.
The NIT powerhouse.
Yeah.
WNIT Radio. Stubb, thank you for the Longwood basketball update. Appreciate it. You can go do your actual work now. AWOD Radio live from Capitol Ale House, noon to 3. Folks, it's Burger Night. Burger Night's back. Richmond's best Burger Night. AWOD will be live from Capitol Ale House, noon to 3, breaking down VCU. We'll be breaking down VCU. You'll hear from Coach Ryan Odom later in the show. But I want to take a big look at the bracket here and everything going on because it's been a fun few days of basketball. The Ivy League giving us some thrills, some chills, all the things. Yale coming through at the buzzer to punch their ticket.
Mahoney's going to inbound it here. Imbang in the backcourt. Wolf at the three-point line. They find Wolf with 5 seconds remaining. He stops, finds Imbang, crosses over into Noling. Noling, lock it in, and the Bulldogs win! The Bulldogs win! Yale goes to the March Madness! Oh, my goodness! Oh, my goodness!
Oh, my God!
Matt Noling, what a shot!
They're mobbing Noling! They will go to the monitor to review, but it looks like the Yale Bulldogs are going to March Madness.
Wow, Matt Noling, the senior forward.
You can't draw more of a storybook ending for this Yale season.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Oh my goodness.
The Brown crowd is stunned and Yale is elated.
Oh my goodness.
Yale basketball, baby. Get into it. Who knew Yale was that exciting? I'm a big, big Yale guy now. Let's go. Yale draws Auburn, the fourth seed. So their journey ends shortly. This is a weird bracket this year because what they tell you, right, when you fill out the bracket every year, this is like the 12s beat the 5s. You know, the 8-9 is the toss-up, all these things. One of the play-in teams always wins. So one of the play-in teams will always advance. The 12s aren't 12s this year, though. It's not a bad bracket. Like, it's not, the teams aren't bad. There were just more teams of lesser quality than there are normally in the bracket who won their way in automatically. You had your NC States of the world sliding in. There were a lot of teams that stole the bids. Duquesne obviously stole a bid. So everything gets pushed up. So the teams that used to be 12s are 10s on this bracket. So you got to keep that in mind as you fill out your bracket here, right? I'm not going to tell you how to fill out your bracket because I never win. So why would you listen to me? But there's a few things you look at as you're going around this bracket. And first off, it is that you need to look at the 10s as the 12s this year, which is a little bit different than normal. I also think from a broad perspective, I think the committee had it harder than it's ever had it. I think that the selection committee had maybe the hardest job they've ever had in getting these teams in the bracket and seated properly. I also think they very definitively did the worst job they've ever done before. So I give them that. I give them that. It was harder than it's ever been before, but they also did worse than they've ever done before in putting this bracket together. You've got the Mountain West teams. There were 6 of them all bunched together. They all ended up like 5-12 in the seats. They're scattered all over, which doesn't make any sense at all. Duquesne, which did not deserve an 11 seed, gets an 11 seed, probably because they carved that spot out for VCU, and then the confetti fell, VCU lost. It was like, oh crap, what do we do? Do we redo the bracket? Nah, don't redo the bracket. Like, we already did a bracket. It's late. We're tired. Just throw Duquesne where VCU was. That said, I love Duquesne as the 11 against BYU, the most fraudulent 6 there's ever been. The 6 seeds this year are wild. I'm looking at the 11s to beat the 6s almost across the board. So BYU is a team that is allergic to getting in the paint. All they do is shoot three-pointers. Ask a VCU fan how that works out when all you do is shoot three-pointers. Sometimes it works when you make them, but the luck runs out eventually. So I love Duquesne against BYU as the 11-6. You go down to the other sides of the bracket, all these are New Mexico against Clemson. Clemson's just brutally overrated as well. Surprised they're in there. Oregon, Pac-12 conference title winner against South Carolina. I actually do like South Carolina, but what do we know? Teams that win the conference tournament often do very well the next weekend. Oregon, conference tournament winner. Shout out Oregon, by the way.
Woo!
Yeah, there you go. A lot of Oregon pride in the studio today.
Yeah,
I know. Absolutely.
Let's go, Oregon.
NC State's your other 11. Just won the ACC tournament. They're playing Texas Tech. Nothing against Texas Tech. History tells us those are good games to pick. I love all the 11s against the 6s this year. I think those are really good matchups going across the board. The Big East got absolutely jobbed. Only 3 teams, Seton Hall left out. Everybody's going to make a big deal about UVA. Fifth ACC team in. The reason everybody's going to make a big deal about UVA, I'm just going to tell you what it is. It's because they're boring. People aren't critiquing UVA's inclusion in the tournament because UVA doesn't deserve it. They're critiquing it because UVA is boring to watch. We hear it every March. Everybody goes for it. Go for it if you got thoughts on VCU's board. I call it like I see it.
No, yeah. Thoughts. That's, yeah, just a hot take. It's just so bold.
They're not watchable. They're brutally unwatchable. That's all. That's why people are opposed to UVA being in the tournament. I say that. I covered Tony Bennett for 4 years. I love the man. I love Tony Bennett. It's just like, sign me up for watching paint dry as opposed to watching this UVA team.
Wow.
The problem is, here's the problem. Some years, every year, people say, oh, UVA's boring. Okay. And but not that's not true every year. Some years they're actually fun to watch, but this year they're living up to the stereotype. Mm-hmm. And there's only one thing that means, Hazel. That means they're going to win two games this year. I'm penciling them into two games.
Heard.
Sweet 16. This is a team that cannot ever win when they're supposed to win. Therefore, UVA is going to beat Colorado State and beat Texas. Roll through this NCAA tournament. Can they beat Tennessee, make the Sweet 16? I say yes, they can, because that's how the ball's going to bounce for UVA this year.
All right. Good luck, boring UVA.
Kansas, my Jayhawks, the four seed. Gonzaga is the five in that pod. I don't like either of them. Give me McNeese State, Will Wade, former VCU coach, noted cheater. That's not speculation. That the NCAA ruled that, right? You take the journalism classes. It's allegedly until found guilty in a court of law, at which point it's no longer
alleged. No longer alleged.
Not alleged cheater, Will Wade.
Factual.
Actual settled with the NCAA. Factual cheater, Will Wade. He's got McNeese rolling, though. It's a feel-good story down in Louisiana. They're the 12 seed. Gonzaga on the 5 line by reputation. I think the Jayhawks are struggling, too. I love McNeese coming out of that pod as well. That's one I'm circling as you fill out the bracket. But you've got a ton of teams at the top, I think, who are going to carry this thing. One of the things you note every year in the tournament is the teams that win are always teams that are balanced. And statistically speaking, every national champion but one in the last 20 years has been both top 25 in offense and top 25 in defense. And so there's 8 teams that fit that criteria this year. North Carolina's one of them, and I do think North Carolina's got as good a shot as anybody to cut down the nets. Connecticut, Houston, Creighton, by the way, fits that criteria. Circle them. Purdue fits the criteria, but they got injuries and they're from the Big Ten. Forget about it. Arizona, Auburn, and Marquette, the Fighting Shaka Smarts at Marquette, fit that criteria as well. So those are the 8. By the way, my other big piece of bracket advice: start at the end, work towards the beginning. Most people fill out the games. You fill out the games who you think will win. Then you fill out who you think will win the next games. Pick who you think will win the final four games. Pick, like, look at the 16 teams. Pick one to the final four. Work them backwards. Then go next round backwards. And that keeps you from doing stupid stuff. Like, when you go through, you're like, oh, this 15 seed, they'll win. And then, like, oh, this 14 seed, they'll win. And then in the next round, you know, you're like, well, the 15 or the 14 win, I don't know. Like, make sure you pick somebody to the final four first, then work your way backwards. It keeps you from doing things you'll regret later. More bracket tips as we go. That's the more you know right there. More from JMU as well. We were out in Harrisonburg last night. It was a party. I hadn't been in that stadium before. What a beautiful stadium as well. Let's give away NASCAR tickets on the other side of this break. Let's do it. We have not given anything away in a long time. We're going to give away tickets to Richmond Raceway, Easter weekend, 2 races, Saturday night and Sunday night. They're going under the lights at Richmond Raceway. You're going too if you're a lucky caller on the other side of this break. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Monday morning, what's up, Richmond? 10 o'clock, MP on the mic. Michael Phillips here, sitting in our Richmond studio. It's been a long time since we've done this. Had a great time last week at the ACC basketball tournament. Thanks again to our friends at Cowan Gates for making that happen. When we left you Friday, what we said was, boy, it sure looks like North Carolina is going to win this thing. And obviously, you know, we have a limited amount of time. The show gets condensed. I must have been cut off because obviously I said North Carolina State is going to win this thing. These things don't come across sometimes on the air. We have hiccups. That happens. Obviously, y'all understood what I meant to say. Full stunner at the ACC. Full-on stunner. NC State, 5 games, 5 days, wins the tournament. Let's not forget. I know we got a bracket. Let's not forget, though, that my goodness, UVA blew that in a big-time way on Friday night. I'm not sure what's crazier, that UVA had, I mean, just one of the all-time end-of-game meltdowns in ACC tournament history, or that's not even the worst all-time ACC tournament end-of-game meltdown in UVA's history. I was there back in the day when they were up 10 against Miami And if you remember, there were 50 seconds left, and the Miami coach was actually telling his guys, stop fouling, we're done here. One of the players didn't hear that, fouled the UVA guy. He missed both his free throws. Miami's off to the races, ended up winning in overtime. Sure felt like shades of that on Friday night. Now, on Thursday, UVA won, so you get to Friday, and I said Friday might, UVA will be in the tournament. That's nice. Feel good about UVA being in the tournament. Then NC State wins the thing. UVA's out of the tournament. Now they're halfway in. They're in the play-in game Tuesday night, so a little Tuesday in Dayton. I was sitting with our guy Mike Barber last night at JMU. We'll get to JMU in a minute. He was out at JMU, too. They announced UVA's playing Tuesday night in Dayton, Ohio, and the eyes get big, right? Like, I got to get to Dayton, Ohio, like, soon. He's on the road to Dulles right now nobody wants Tuesday in Dayton. You know, the tourney's fun. You get to go see new places and watch basketball. Nobody wants Tuesday night in Dayton. That's not anybody's idea of a good time.
A little fun in Dayton, Ohio. Going to Dayton this weekend, Tuesday.
The South Beach of Middle Ohio. a lot of people. You know, very popular spring break. Look, you remember MTV did spring break back in the day?
Right.
Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, Dayton.
Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah. Not everybody remembers the Dayton's MTV spring break, but it was they had the Real World Road Rules cast there, everything. It went down that season on MTV spring break. All right, Monday Fun Days crew is here. Megan's here. What's up, Megan?
What's up?
Hazel's here. And we're gonna bring you 2 hours of entertainment. It's live. It's also on the Odyssey app, the one with the rewind button. And we are on all major podcast platforms, MP on the mic. Here's when I knew UVA would be in yesterday. I told you, our guy Patrick Stevens, Washington Post bracket guy, he was the only one who told me VCU would be in 2011. I've listened to him ever since. He had UVA as his last team in last night. Sure enough, there they were in the play-in game. He was 68 for 68, which is crazy impressive given how hard it is to track all these moving pieces. So we'll dive into UVA a little deeper, get you ready for their game tomorrow night. A little game against Colorado State in Dayton, the play-in game to the tournament. We'll take stock of the bracket. We're doing a new feature this week, all weeks, called Dancing with the Dukes. It's brought to you by Journey Health and Wellness. That'll be at 10:15. I was up in Harrisonburg last night, talked to JMU players, coaches. We'll play all of that for you. You'll hear from Coach Mark Byington and Noah Friedel from the JMU Dukes, who are indeed going dancing. They'll be up in Brooklyn this weekend, Friday nighter against Wisconsin, which I think is going to be one of the games nationally that a lot of people have circled. That's going to be a very fun game, a competitive game. You heard it on TV right after they announced it. You hear, I think it was Seth Davis who said, I got JMU in the Sweet 16. That's expectations right there. I'm not sure any coach wants to hear, your team's going to the Sweet 16 before they play a game, but it'll be a fun one for sure. Duke's in that pod as well up in Brooklyn, so you know that's going to be a spirited atmosphere. We've also got NIT action tomorrow night. Not just play-in tournament action. We have all the things. Play-in tournament action. We have NIT action. Virginia Tech taking on Richmond, a game that has not happened in a long time. So the Spiders are going to go travel down to Virginia Tech, face the Hokies tomorrow night, 9 p.m. A little NIT basketball for you to get the week warmed up. We'll dive into that. I like Tech in that one. The key to an NIT pairing is you always want to play a team that doesn't want to be there. Unfortunately, I do think Virginia Tech wants to be there. I think VCU may have gotten a better NIT draw. Villanova's the one seed. I'm not sold that Villanova wants to be there. I'm not sure that Villanova's like, man, we're in the NIT. We're a one seed. We're so pumped. Those are the teams you can beat. Catch them before they start getting interested in what they're doing. We have a women's bracket as well. And the Hokies did it. They hung on. They'll be hosting games this weekend. Not just games. They get the play-in game there in Blacksburg as well. But Virginia Tech is the four seed. That was very much in question. Liz Kittley with her injury. So far, they've done a good job of not providing updates on that, which was what I said they needed to do. Don't let everybody know how hurt she is. get your home games, then figure the rest out. That's Virginia Tech women's basketball. They'll be hosting this weekend in a women's tournament that I think is going to deliver in a lot of different ways. I mentioned we have Dancing with the Dukes each of the next 2 days. We have a NASCAR ticket giveaway all week. Hazel, are these winners just going to the Saturday race?
Oh, no.
No?
They're going to Sunday, too.
They're going to both days.
That's right.
We're going to give away NASCAR tickets to Saturday and Sunday's race every day this week. Megan, have you ever been to the NASCAR race?
I have. My dad used to be a big fan. Yeah.
Let's go.
When I was a kid, he really liked Jeff Gordon.
Oh, Jeff Gordon guy. All right. Yep. Now, I remember Jeff Gordon representing, like, you know, he was kind of like the Yankee driver. Like, Dale Earnhardt was the driver here. Jeff Gordon was, you know.
Okay.
This was the South. This was a Dale Earnhardt place. But
I know nothing. I know the names, and I know my dad used to like it. But yeah, he used to go to the game. Or sorry, he would be correcting me right now.
He would say the race. Yeah,
he would be going to them when I was a kid, and occasionally I would go.
Oh, there
with
you go.
Him, and
it's a spectacle.
Yeah, and we'd have, if we didn't go with him, Mom and my sister and I would have a girls' weekend. It would be a lot of fun.
Nice. Call in, win the tickets. So that, you know, you can make these kinds of memories. That'll be later on in the show. I always tell people my first NASCAR race wasn't until I moved out here. I grew up in Kansas. We didn't have NASCAR racing. I'm not Mr. NASCAR. I don't.
Yeah.
Could I name five drivers? Yes, I'd have to work on it for a while, though. It wouldn't be good radio.
Well, I am pretty proud.
But I tell people, you got to go at least once.
You do.
Because it is a full-on spectacle, and they do a nice job out there.
And I am pretty proud now, because, like, as a Liberty University alum, they do have the Liberty car out there and driver, so that's pretty cool.
Okay.
Was it William Byron?
The guy. Thank you. That was another one I was going to take. William Byron.
Yep.
Grew up playing NASCAR video games.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, this is a great story. Like, most people are like, he's been driving since he was seven, you know, like, did the little go-karts and the thing. Like, he didn't. He loved
just video
NASCAR video games.
Wow. That's
and
cool.
Then, like, became a teenager, went to Liberty, and was like, somehow got to drive an actual one, and was, like, freakishly good at it. And they're like, how are you so good at this? Well, I've been playing the video game. Which is definitely not how that's supposed to work at all.
They made a movie about that, right? It's got somebody in it. Yeah. He plays video games. Everyone's like, he can't drive a real car. And he's like, yes, I can. I swear, it's real.
No, I think I do remember it. I don't remember the name, but I do remember what
his,
you're talking about.
His story is such good marketing for the video game, though.
Yeah.
Anytime I see a pipe, I don't think I'm gonna slide through that and go fight Bowser. Like, you know, I've been doing it my whole life. You just get in the pipe and you press the down button. You play the NASCAR video game, you can do it. Tickets to Richmond race weekend, Easter night race out there. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll give those away later in the show. And of course, VCU. VCU yesterday. Look, it was a great weekend. And for VCU, it was a great weekend, but I thought they were going to win it. Here is when I thought they were going to win the game yesterday.
My goodness. Oh, my gosh. They got confetti falling right now. Confetti is falling on the floor. They're going to have to stop playing. We can't see our notes. The players can't work on this court. Confetti is everywhere. Somebody hit the wrong button.
I love Kevin Harlan so much. it's the start of the second half. Duquesne's winning big, and the confetti in the Duquesne colors falls onto the court in the middle of the game. And that's bad mojo. Like, I know the Duquesne players didn't hit the button to push the confetti. Like, I know they're out there playing hard, but that's bad mojo.
Oh, man.
And what do you know? Right after that, VCU scores the next 9 points of the game. 9-0 run right after the Duquesne confetti falls.
You got to fight back after they throw their colored confetti at you.
Yeah. I know. It's not the player. Like, if they had lost, like, they're going to spend the rest of their lives fault. So mad at, like, this intern up there who's, like, had one job. Like, your job, like, there's a Duquesne confetti button and a VCU confetti button. And you shouldn't be hitting either of them in the middle of the game. Like, so the game ends. I'm like, will there be confetti? Like, I don't know, because the confetti's already fallen.
It's all gone.
The game ends. There's no confetti. And then, like, 30 seconds later, like, a little bit of Duquesne confetti falls, or streamers. There were streamers, I think.
Oh, no.
And I was like, this guy was just this was the most cautious confetti push of his life. He's like, don't be early. Don't be early. Don't be early. Where's the confetti? It's been 30 seconds. Oh, okay. We weren't going early. We weren't going early.
Been there, done that.
VCU and the NIT will break that down. A weekend of basketball where I thought they played one really good game. I thought Max Scholga played one really good game to lead them to victory on Saturday. They had chances. They had so many chances yesterday. Just couldn't convert on the offensive end. You'll hear from Ryan Odom, of course, as we do on this program. But when we get back, we're dancing with the Dukes. It's a new thing we're doing every day until the Dukes lose in the NCAA tournament, which hopefully won't be for quite a while. We'll find out more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, is your ticket to Richmond Raceway's fall and spring action. Two races this year, both under the lights. I am just so pumped to be back under the lights at Richmond Raceway. It's better. It's a better vibe. It's cool. All those things. Megan, it's Monday Fun Day here. You came all this way for this great radio show. We've been talking bracket. We've been talking basketball. I'm going to give you the honors here. Okay.
Okay.
Pick a number between 1 and 5.
Oh my goodness. Ooh, 3.
Okay. Third caller. 833-804-0910. You win a ticket to the Saturday and Sunday races on March 30th and March 31st. So that's coming up soon. March 30th, the Toyota Care 250 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And then Easter Sunday, March 31st, is the Toyota Owners 400. And I have great news for those of you calling 833-804-0910 right now. And that is, we are going to give away NASCAR tickets every single day this week. So if you don't win today, you can win tomorrow. And if you don't win tomorrow, you can win on Wednesday. And if you don't win Wednesday, you can win on Thursday. But if you don't win on Friday, you're going to just have to go buy a ticket. And it's worth it, because they've done a great job out there at the raceway. Here we go. I think we got our winner. Yeah. Go ahead and fire that up, Hazel. We'll get our winner and pass that along. Pass that information along as we do. Richmond Raceway. Oh, there we go. We got a winner. All right. I love it. We've got a winner. Thank you for calling in. Play again tomorrow. We're giving away tickets to Richmond Raceway. Back under the lights, including Easter weekend, Sunday night, March 31st, under the lights. Go find the eggs. Go down to Monument. Wear your fancy hat. Take off the fancy hat. Put on a trekker hat. Get out there for some racing action with the Pride of Liberty, William Byron.
Yep.
And Denny Hamlin.
Yep.
And all your favorites. All the regulars. Last year, spring race. Now, I'm not making... Lori wouldn't be happy if I made promises, so I'm not making promises. Last year's spring race, Michael Jordan was there.
Okay.
Just saying. it's the place to be.
It is the place to be.
He co-owns Bubba Wallace's car. Bubba will be there. I feel like I can say that quite confidently. Barring very unfortunate events between now and then, Bubba Wallace will be there in the car driving. I cannot promise you Michael Jordan will be there. He might have Easter plans. I don't know. He might have basketball plans. I think he sold the Charlotte Hornets. I don't think he owns them anymore. Mm-hmm. He might just want to sit at home and watch Wizards basketball.
That's fair.
Who doesn't?
Yep.
So we'll give away Richmond Raceway tickets every day this week. When we get it back up to the top of the hour, we'll hear from VCU coach Ryan Odom. I'll recap our week at the ACC tourney, brought to you by Cowan Gates. We'll go dancing with the Dukes at 11:15. You'll hear my interview with JMU's Noah Friedel. I also want to sneak in at some point. Would love to sneak in an NFL segment because a lot happened there over the weekend. But it's bracket day. That's the priority. That's what we're focused on here. Before we get to the top of the hour, I have a question for you, though. I had a situation. Dilemma. So I was in D.C., thanks to Cowan Gates, for the ACC tournament. We had a great time. Had you know, just, I mean, the games could not have been better, obviously. NC State and UNC in the finals was a great game. The whole thing. I'm at a downtown hotel. So, like, not the fanciest hotel in the world, but, you know, it's pretty fancy.
It's a hotel.
It's a hotel. It was, I think, $250 a night.
Yeah.
So I'm not... Nobody's slumming it here. We're not at Red Roof Inn.
No.
I valet parked the car. Okay. And they've got this, like, app where when you want your car, you get on the button, you push the button, and they bring your car around.
That's cool.
That's very cool. I like that. So I push the button to get my car, and it shows a screen, and it says, would you like to leave a tip for your valet? And that's kind of nice, right, to not have to do it with cash. Yeah. I have cash, but it's nice to have the cashless option.
Yeah, that is very nice. I like that.
So it says... I'm going to pull this up. The suggested tip is $7.56, but let your experience guide you. The average gratuity is currently $7.67. Let your experience guide you. And then it's got a little slider. But you can't pull the slider lower than $5. That's the minimum tip. Am I being cheap, or is it ridiculous to expect a $7.67 tip for pulling your car around from the valet?
Yeah, see, I don't really do valet,
that feels aggressive.
But, like, I don't like that you can't go below five because it says let your experience guide you. What if you had a terrible experience?
Now, maybe I'm outing. I don't think I'm a cheap person. Like, 20% at restaurants, all the thing. Yeah. Like, you take care of me, I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
I've always, when the valet pulls around, I used to just give them $1 every time they got my car. I've been doing two recently. It's an inflationary economy. I understand that. But five is a big jump from
one or two.
Two to five.
And seven.
So they pulled the car around. I gave them $2 cash.
Yeah.
But, like, are they judging me now? I don't know.
I would assume so.
No question.
Yeah.
But also, like, who's tipping $7 for them to bring your car around?
That's a lot.
Maybe I'm in the wrong here.
No.
Michael P. and RVA on what the artist formerly known as Twitter, if you want to weigh in on the tipping situation here. That's an aggressive amount of tipping.
Well, just like, I remember I went to Subway once and like they just started their tipping thing, right? They probably had a jar before.
And that's not a tipping situation,
exactly,
by the way.
Exactly.
I agree with you. But all right, carry on.
And it didn't used to be.
They're sandwich artists, though.
Yeah.
If the artistry reaches the right level.
And like, and I'll make this short. I know we got to get out, but like, basically, they added the option on the machine for a tipping thing. That was a new thing.
Yeah.
And like, even the guy there, because you don't tip at Subway, so the guy just like the employee reaches over and hits no tip on it.
Wow. All right.
I respect. He got it.
That makes me want to tip him.
The
last honest man. Exactly. All right. Top of the hour. We're coming back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. 11 o'clock in Richmond, Virginia. What's up? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, live worldwide on the Odyssey app, recapping a wild weekend in the world of hoops, where UVA somehow almost botches it the first night, does botch it the second night, watches North Carolina carry off the trophy, North Carolina State carry off the trophy, and makes the NCAA basketball tournament. They're in the play-in game. They're going to Dayton. They play tomorrow night against Colorado State to play their way in. So that's wild. VCU wins its way into the A-10 final. Phenomenal showing from Max Shulga on Saturday. Just couldn't get the job done against Duquesne. Almost had the fake streamers come down. Rode the celebration jinx to victory there. 9-0 run after the Duquesne streamers fell. The old fake out. I don't know if Ed McLaughlin was up there hitting the button or what. It almost worked. Got to the finish. That defense was good in the second half. But, man, they couldn't get the shots to fall. And that's been a concern all year. And it showed up on Sunday at the worst possible time. Because, boy, that defense clamped down on the Dukes in the second half. Gave them every opportunity to win. Gave them every opportunity to make the shot, to push VCU over the top. They got a couple. And then the ultimate like kick in the pants there is right when it stops mattering. All of a sudden, Zeb Jackson like can't miss from half court. Like, no, not now. Earlier. You missed it by a couple of minutes. And it was a lovable team that just never became more than the sum of its parts. And I think Max Schulga had the right idea Saturday. He took over. He just took over the game, led them to the victory. They needed that. They needed that after what I thought were a lackluster Thursday and Friday in Brooklyn. They survived. They advanced. But then they ran into the buzzsaw that is Duquesne. Duquesne handed them their second loss of the month. And congrats to the Dukes, because they are dancing for the first time since 1977. Very much deserving. Great tournament for them. And they're sitting on the 11 side. They got BYU. They could make some noise. Wouldn't surprise me at all if Duquesne wins a tournament game for the A-10. Dayton's in the tournament. They're the second A-10 team in the tournament. Against all odds, really, Dayton is a 7 seed, which is one of many things I just don't understand at all from the committee this year. Dayton's the 7 and Clemson's the 6 in the same pod, which tells me, I don't know, am I the only person who watches college basketball? Am I the only person who thinks the games matter? I might be. I don't know. But this is now your NIT headquarters, by the way, because we've got some juicy NIT matchups coming for the next couple days. Tomorrow night, Virginia Tech is hosting the University of Richmond. I love this NIT matchup. As a person who dunks on the NIT a lot, they know that. As a person who's a routine NIT dunker on, these are two teams that very much want to be a part of the NIT, right? That's half the battle when you get to the NIT. Who wants to participate? Both these teams want to participate. You heard we played Mike Young last week. I'm not too big for my pants, which was a great line. And I'm still not entirely sure what it means, but he's not too big for his pants to play in the NIT. The pants will fit tomorrow night in Blacksburg when they take the court for the NIT against the University of Richmond. Great matchup. These don't happen often enough, the mid-majors against the high majors with stakes. I think that's a really good matchup. And then you got VCU and Villanova. I like this for VCU because I don't think Villanova's going to care. I think they might be too big for their pants. Check the pants fits in Philly on Wednesday night before the game. Villanova might not want to be there. They've competed for natties. They've competed in big games and big moments. Sometimes it's a little hard to get yourself going, a little NIT game in front of friends and family there, that first rounder. Once you get deep in the NIT, there's juice, it's fun, people are there. That first game, though, I say this from experience, I've covered my fair share of NITs. That first game's a drag. It's too quick of a turnaround to sell tickets. Nobody really wants to be there. You imagine you didn't make the tourney. VCU could slide by him. They could make this happen. Ryan Odom, not too big for his pants. He was asked about competing in the NIT after the loss to Duquesne. He made the case for the Rams to get in. I think they were ultimately one of the last teams selected to the NIT. Probably benefited from a lot of major teams that didn't want to participate, that declined. Briefly here, before we play the clip, the NCAA, speaking of things I dunk on, organizations I dunk on, the transfer portal for college basketball players. This is where players can switch schools and re-enroll at a new school. Megan, we haven't heard from you in a minute. When do you think the transfer portal should open for college basketball players to pick a new school and switch schools? What would be the logical time for that? If they want to commit to a new school next year, you know, they would enroll in summer school in June. So when would be a good time to let them pick their new school?
I don't know. I mean, like, okay, so we're talking about their first year, right? Like, they just started.
They just, you know, they're college basketball players, and they think they want to switch to a new school next year.
I don't know. Maybe just after, like, a year or two, you know?
After the season.
Yeah, after the season, yeah.
It's today. Today's the day. We're still playing basketball. We're still playing basketball. Wait, what are we doing here? The transfer portal's open today for college basketball players, but the season's ongoing for some of these schools, and so they're checking out of the NIT to try to recruit their players. It doesn't make even a little bit of sense.
No.
It makes zero sense to open the transfer portal today when there's still basketball being played. You can do this a month from now.
Yeah.
And they can still get to their next school by June. There are planes, there are trains, there are automobiles. It's America. They can find ways between the two cities. in less than a month. This isn't the Oregon Trail. They don't need to set out with their provisions now to make it by summer school. What are we doing here? And so these teams are checking out of the NIT and open up the door for VCU. Not too big for their pants, by the way. Here's VCU coach Ryan Odom.
This is a good basketball team, you know, and worthy of playing postseason. Certainly we will, you know, if we get called, you know, the guys will be excited to compete for another championship. And it's one of the things Coach Theus, you know, said to the team. You know, I always talk to the team after the conference tournament and talk about the seniors, Sean Bairstow and Kwani. I won't go in depth about, you know, the things that I said about those guys, but opened it up to everybody else. And Coach Theus, you know, was great, you know, with the team. You know, he said he appreciated what all these guys had done for VCU. And VCU is a place that competes for championships. And we obviously had a chance to do that. Not easy to do with the turnover that we had and the coaching change and the new faces and all of that. This team willed its way into a championship situation with 40 minutes. And yeah, it'd be shame for it to end right now because they have more to give. They want to play more. And then, you know, I think he's dead right. You know, and that, you know, if we're given the chance to do that in the NIT, then we'll compete for another championship because that's what VCU does.
That's such a good line. I love that from Ryan Odom. We'll compete for championships because that's what VCU does. As a guy's not going to have a problem getting his team ready. And I don't want to jinx it. I don't think he's going to have major transfer portal issues, which is obviously helping the NIT as well. Certainly wouldn't surprise me if Fats Billups puts his name in. Obviously, Roosevelt Wheeler. You look at the guys who didn't get a lot of playing time. That's not fair. That's not right to anybody. You should be allowed to develop players. That's not a crime. But in this day and age, you know it's a consideration, and you know it's a thing that those guys are going to have voices in their ear. Would Jason Nelson take a look? Knowing what he's got will... Because I don't think Ryan Odom's going to be the kind of guy who's going to promise playing time. And we know there are coaches out there who will promise playing time. And that's an issue. As you roll through March and the tournament and all these things, you want to be able to develop your players and play your best roster without having to think in the back of your mind, who do I need to protect? Who do I need to make sure that I don't lose to the portal because I'm going to need them next year? UVA had that problem. Tony Bennett, you know, doesn't play the kid. He leaves for Texas this offseason. Now UVA can't score. And they go into a game. I'm telling you, they're going to benefit from this this lack of expectations here. It was a great ACC tournament, though, front to back. I think my favorite, the North Carolina people crack me up more and more every year. Because, right, if any time they're not in North Carolina at the ACC tournament, they're enormously salty about the whole thing. Like, the North Carolina media contingent. They think basketball begins and ends in North Carolina. So they're in Washington, D.C. They were so unhappy about it all week. But then the games are great. And so I think it was Andrew Carter in the News and Observer, who I love. He's a great writer. But his takeaway from the finals, like, this was an amazing final between North Carolina and North Carolina State. Too bad they're ruining the conference and it'll never happen again. Like, just enjoy today.
Thank gosh.
Today's great. Just maybe enjoy today. And it's fun. Like, the product still delivers. Cal will be there next year. Nobody likes that. I get that. Just enjoy the product today. College basketball's got a lot of problems. We went into depth on that last week. You can hear it on the podcast. But one of them is not the on-court product because it's good, and it's going to be a wild March. We've got the bracket. I'm going to say there are more upsets this year than there have been in any year of the tournament. That's partially because the committee very clearly did not know how to seed some of these teams. And also, there's more parity than there's been before with player movement and guys moving around. You look at these Mountain West teams who are sporting the 11 seeds and 12 seeds. Yeah, they could win some basketball games. That's going to happen. My favorite stat from the ACC tourney, by the way, as a noted Wizards hater, you'll appreciate this. The Washington Wizards have won 4 games at Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. this year.
Okay.
Last week, NC State won 5.
Oh, my gosh.
The Wizards, 31 games at Capital One Arena this season. They've won 4. NC State played 5 games at the arena last week and won
every single one.
5 of them.
That's insane.
Could NC State beat the Wizards? Yeah. We're just saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
We're just presenting the information for you.
Get it together, Wizards.
The other best part is that NC State's coach got a two-year... He was like on the hot seat coming into the tournament. He was like, you know, if he had lost to Louisville in the first round, the word was he was going to be fired. But because Kevin Keats won the ACC tournament, he gets an automatic two-year contract extension and a $400,000 raise. That's a good day at the office right there. Win one game, cash into that extent. I love it. Good for him, Ryan. We may have time to play the clip later. I don't know if we will or won't. We'll play right now. Dan Monson, the Long Beach coach, he got fired last week before the week started. They still like, we're going to fire you. Like, this is your last season. You can, like, coach your last game and, like, waived every... He had been there 17 years, so I think they thought they were, like, giving him a classy exit. Like, you've been here 17 years. Why don't you coach your last game and, you know, everybody can applaud for you on the way out. Then they won the tournament. So now he's in the NCAA field, and he's been fired. Awkward.
Very. Oh. Yikes.
Oops. A little premature.
Poor planning there.
Somebody hit the button early.
Seems to be the theme of this whole thing.
Theme of the whole thing. We're going Dancing with the Dukes again. You will hear my conversation with JMU's Noah Friedel from last night. You'll enjoy that conversation. You'll enjoy the story of the JMU women's basketball team from last night as well. You'll hear it on the other side of this break. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Flying up towards the top of the hour, AWOD Radio, live from Capitol Ale House. It's Burger Night. Richmond's favorite Burger Night is back at Capitol Ale House, and AWOD is back from Brooklyn, where VCU fell to Duquesne in the A-10 title game. That's all you could have asked for from this VCU squad, who got the most out of what they took to Brooklyn. You're always right, that's the hope of March, the eternal hope. Like, they'll turn it on now, and now, and it just never, the switch never quite flipped, right? And that's just it happened for Max Schulga on Saturday. But this wasn't the team that we saw peak in late January. This wasn't the VCU team that we saw roll off some wins. Back when we were talking about, are they going to be an at-large team? Could they sneak into the at-large discussion? Which, by the way, we've learned, I don't know that they ever had a chance to, given how tight the at-large field is this year, as we look at the bracket, which we'll do here in a minute. But VCU is... I mean, I don't know that they ever had a chance to play their way up to a 10 seed, which is what it took to get into the tournament at the end of the day. Ryan Odom, after the game in Brooklyn, asked about the defense. They threw that zone out there against UMass. It was so effective. They clamped down on St. Joseph's. In the second half, they turned it on against Duquesne. Offense just didn't follow. But here's Ryan Odom, VCU basketball coach.
We wanted to do what, I mean, we played zone several possessions, and so we kind of torched that. You know, we did away with that. We said we're not going to go back to that. Let's be us, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. You know, the problems in the first half were twofold. Their defense was getting the best of our offense, all right, and our defense was not getting the best of their offense, all right. And when our offense was having problems, some of those turned into baskets for them, whether it was, you know, Grant three on the left side over there. That was a missed, you know, opportunity at the rim and transition for us that turns into a three for them. The other baskets that happened were, you know, offensive rebounds. All right, we were forcing misses. We just weren't coming up with the ball.
That's VCU coach Ryan Odom. Rams fall to Duquesne in the A-10 title game. Get to continue their season in the NIT, which was not a given. A lot of talent at the top. The Spiders get selected to the NIT as well. Folks, we've got ourselves an NIT party the next couple nights. And look, nobody's excited about an NIT party, but I think you're going to have a pair of fun ones here in Virginia Tech Richmond, a matchup that doesn't happen nearly often enough. We talk about that. We'll talk about that all offseason. Just don't get nearly enough of those major against mid-major matchups. And I think both teams will be gunning for it and pedal to the metal to try to prove themselves in that opener. VCU heads up to Villanova, as do the VCU women, who were in the WBIT, the Women's Basketball Invitation Tournament. They also play Villanova, also up in Philadelphia. So big, big week for the VCU men and women headed up to play Villanova in postseason tournaments. UVA also snuck their way into the WBIT. They will take on High Point in first-round action there. The big news from the women's side is that Virginia Tech does indeed get to host, which was not a given, and they were asked about it. The NCAA committee was asked about it afterward, that they said, look, we saw they struggled without Liz Kitley, but we don't know about her injury. We think they were fairly seated kind of somewhere between where they would have been with her. That's probably a two. And where they would have been without her, which is probably a six. Four lands on the right side of getting to host, though. Virginia Tech will host NCAA women's basketball this weekend. They're also going to host a play-in game. Vanderbilt and Columbia will do the play-in game on Wednesday in Blacksburg. They don't do those in Dayton, so they'll be at the site in Blacksburg, and then Virginia Tech takes on Marshall. Baylor is the five seed in that region. We'll await dates, times, all those things, and we will pass those along to you when we have them. Hopefully can get out of the first weekend. You'd love for them to win the two at home, take care of business against Baylor, but we talk about it all the time. The parity in the women's game is as high as it's ever been, for sure. All right, couple other things we didn't get to touch on because it was a big bracket day. Capitals take on the Calgary Flames tonight. This ends their five-game West Coast road swing while the ACC tournament was in D.C. The Caps, by the way, 2-2 on the road. You remember our guy Steve Wino was on the show on Friday and said 3-2, that's the magic number. He said 2-2-1 that they could take an overtime loss. So if they can at least squeak out a point out of Calgary, the Caps have, statistically speaking, a more than 50% chance of making the NHL playoffs. We'll keep an eye on that tonight. They're out on the West Coast. A little bit earlier of a start time, though, for you, 8:30, which is nothing compared to all these basketball games. Man, UVA fans, you have to adjust their whole sleep schedules. We were in D.C. last week. I think the first UVA game tipped at 9:40 p.m. I think the second one tipped at like 9:48 p.m. And now they're in Dayton tomorrow. Tomorrow. It's listed as a 9:10 p.m. game. I can just tell you from experience, I've been doing this for a minute, that game has never once in the history of the Dayton play-in game tipped off at 9:10 p.m.
Oh, boy.
Because they do the game before. There's a game before it, and they bracket it for lasting 2 hours, but it's an NCAA tournament game. They take timeouts. They take long commercials. They take long halftimes. UVA is not touching the court anywhere near that time. So get ready. Get ready. Get your caffeine going. Get whatever it is, whatever you need, get ready for that. We appreciate you guys joining us on a Monday, a bracket Monday. Brackets are out. Megan's here. Hazel's here. Will you guys fill out brackets?
Probably not.
No.
There will be no brackets for
no
me.
No brackets.
Can't win if you don't play. Will you fill out AWOD's burger bracket? He's doing a bracket to determine the best burger in Richmond.
Any excuse to
that's more tempting.
Yeah.
A1 knows his people.
I'm down for a burger.
All right. TheFanRichmond.com if you want to vote in the first round of AWOD's burger bracket. We'll get the scoop from him here during Crosstalk in a minute. He's at Capitol Ale today. They're in the bracket. They've got the original burger night in Richmond. So good luck to all the participants in that one as well.
Yeah.
And if you want to send free burgers, the Odyssey Studio. I don't know if that's allowed or not, but if it is allowed, we would accept them.
We would.
I would have to go back to our training module to figure that out. But I think we're good. I think we're in the clear to sample some burgers and get to the bottom of some stuff there. Couple NFL items. Dak Prescott restructures his contract with the Cowboys to free up $4 million in cap space. That says to me that they're talking, that this thing hasn't reached an impasse, right? Because Dak was looking to restructure, looking to extend. Cowboys haven't liked the numbers on the board so far. If they were truly non-cooperative, not talking, the relationship was souring, he wouldn't have done that, extended that olive leaf of extending his contract to create $4 million in salary cap space. That tells me they're probably closer than further away, whether this extension happens or not. The Jets signed Tyron Smith. This was an interesting one to me. So he was the Cowboys' left tackle who was rumored to Washington by a lot of people. Very good player, hurt a lot. He's going to make $6.5 million with the Jets. That can, rise to $13.5 million, depending on how many games he plays next year. I think that's an incredibly reasonable contract. I'll be curious why Washington wasn't in on that. Of course, they've got the inside info there. Dan Quinn knows those guys well. That tells me he wasn't wild about Tyron Smith really at any price after watching that. The other NFL story I'm watching carefully. The Vikings have traded for another first-round pick. The Minnesota Vikings are now picking at 11 and 23 this year. That tells me they're looking to package and keep moving up, maybe move towards a quarterback. Now, with the news that the Bears have traded Justin Fields, which happened over the weekend, I think it's a given the Bears are taking Caleb Williams at this point. I don't think we're budging off of that stance. But the Vikings looking to move up will be fascinating to watch in the coming weeks and months as well, and whether or not Washington would entertain offers. I get the sense they're going to turn in the card, they're going to pick a quarterback. We'll see how good the deals get as we get closer, though, as teams fall in love with their guys. Right now, Washington's got first pick of the rest of the board. We'll see if they fall in love with J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or Michael Penix, one of those guys. Could you make a move? That's all for the coming week. So right now, we've got a bracket. We're also going to have AWOD on for a little crosstalk. That'll be next. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.